I just listened to this side of the tape here so I can write down Steve's address, and right away, from this tape and last tape, I figured it out. Mom, you are cheating. You're writing down what you're going to say and then reading it word for word. You sound like Huntley Brinkley News Broadcasting. Oh, that's all right, though. No sweat. I really feel sorry about Boyd, and the way I remember him last, actually, is when we were picking beans out there when I was in the 7th grade or 6th grade or whatever that was, and getting a fight, knocked down 3 rows of beans. I'll have to mention that in the letter I write to him. Now, I will write, and I'll probably write tomorrow. As soon as I get back from flying, I think I can go ahead and write everybody. And tonight, yet, as I said before, I got to clean up my area, and then I got to clean my rifle again. My bolt action, that is. And sure, a beautiful weapon. It's brand new. All the bluing is all there, brand new wood, and so forth. It looks similar to the rifle that belongs to Uncle Bill there. It's at our house. But it's got the same straight-out bolt on it, you know, the bolt handle. But it's got a fixed bayonet that's fixed to the rifle. And it lays alongside of the rifle, and when it's for use, you flip it up, and it flips itself over the barrel. And I got all kinds of groovy stuff I got for it. But it'll be home in another 3 months. Actually, a tad bit less than 3 months now. So I think you'll enjoy looking at it. About that cat, man, it sounded just like he was like old Fluffy was, as far as being ornery. Won't let you pet him or anything. Crawling away so you can't reach him, then laying down again. Sound same doggone old thing, I bet you anything. Except I don't remember Fluffy was ever ever not fighting when he got in the water to take his bath. I know he meowed a lot and was real perturbed, but when you got him in the water and then he started tearing pieces out of your arms and stuff like that, I remember that real good. So just get to where we didn't even give him a bath anymore. But Fluffy was a good old cat. And this cat that I saw on the paper here is beautiful, man. I really couldn't quite envision of how it actually would look, but that if it looks anything like that in the paper, you got a beautiful cat, real nice. And everybody says he, so right away I know it's a he, and which is usually a change. Everything we usually get is girls, but got a he dog or a he cat this time. I was just wondering how it's getting along with the neighbors. I understand he got away one time and when Dad was out walking the cat. And I don't imagine how it liked my car. I know Fluffy made it underneath the seat every time we took her for a ride. I don't know how Tuffy is. That's kind of a... But I can see where... I had never met a cat yet that liked a car ride. We got a few dogs here in the company that just love helicopter rides, but I had never seen a cat yet that loved a car ride. So I guess enough of that. And I don't know. I'd like to... Oh, not really much to say. I'll just go ahead and tell you what I did today. I get the day off, so I slept in about 10 o'clock this morning until it got too hot to sleep anymore. And put on my cut-off fatigues. You know those cut-off Levi's I used to wear? I just cut a pair of fatigues off. My shower shoes, and that's all I wore all day long. Got starting on my short-timers suntan here. And, be nice and tan when I get back. Even though it's hot and sunny all the time over here, you very seldom ever get a tan because... any time that you're fighting the war or flying an aircraft or anything else you do as far as the line of duty over here, you've got to be fully dressed. And very seldom do you ever get a chance to take your shirt off. But I do once in a while, and when I do, I get myself a sunburn, which turns into a mild tan and lots of freckles. Same as always. I just got my nose sunburned yesterday and today. So that's back to the same old story again. And I was just wondering if I ever got the exhaust system for my car, number one question. Number two question, you never did say anything about getting the pictures. Of course, you didn't get the letter until after you sent the tape. And you called Kiki to tell her, to tell me that you got the letter. And also noticed the American flag then. I finally found an address through the VFW magazine we get over here once in a while. Where to get these American flags. And everybody's crazy of them. I think I get some for the whole company now. But one of these days, I'll send my pictures. I've got... 7, 8, 9, 10 more boxes of pictures. So one of these days I'll get around to sending those to you. I've got all but the last 3 boxes categorized, you know, for showing, you know, to tell you what they're all about. So I think I answered George hated the questions on the pictures, and I imagine you probably had the same questions. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to, if I can remember what they are by the time I erase the tape and recopy it, if I can remember what they are, I'd answer them. Janet received a letter the same time you did because I wrote her and you the same day. However, I haven't written another letter since. So I better do that. After a long day of flying, I just don't really care to write a letter. I just like to go to bed early. And on your day off, it's the only time that you actually have a chance to letter. And usually you're cleaning your prize war trophy or cleaning up your area or drinking Coke or beer or whatever you have. And you just never get around to writing. It's just sort of, when you got the time to relax, you usually take it. When you don't have the time to relax, there's no way you can write a letter then either. So, you've probably guessed that I can't relax writing letters. To relax, I just gotta lay down and go to sleep. But I really miss everybody back home, and I won't be too long before I'm back there, and I miss being out on my own, being able to go down and get a root beer when I want to get a root beer, and being able to drive my car and everything else. But that'll all come. And just sort of some speculation on what I'm gonna do for leave. The way I have it figured, I'm going to probably, I haven't got my orders yet to where I'm going to be going, but hopefully Fort Walters, Texas. What I'll be doing is spending 2 weeks around home and around Oregon, a couple 3 days home, and I'll go to the coast and come back in a couple 3 days, more or less like this last leave. But maybe a week and a half, possibly 2 weeks prior to my report date, I think I'll go ahead and start down, and I'm just going to drive down through California and spend a couple of days at San Francisco visiting Jerry and his wife and this girl I met down there in Australia, see if she's still around, see if she still remembers who I am. Then head on over to Phoenix and spend a couple of days in Phoenix, then head to Fort Walters. If I live in Fort Rucker or something, I'll probably do the same, just about the same thing, but I like to take 2 weeks, you know, and just kind of drive leisurely and enjoy the sights along the way and just sort of enjoy myself before I have to report in. So that's basically what I'll be doing. Besides that, you know, you stay home for a couple of weeks and you have nothing to do, it just sort of gets long and old. I just want to get out and get something to do, you know. I think that'll probably be about best. Plus I gotta go down and buy all kinds of groovy parts for my car, you know, like mag wheels and so forth. I've got real big plans for making my car better, and not exactly faster or hotter or anything else, just make it a more comfortable vacation machine, you know, driving long distances and so forth, and make it just a more comfortable car. And I intend to keep this for a long time. I have no intentions of buying another car until after I get out of the Army and after I get out of college, after I get out of the Army. And by that time, I'll be so broke anyway that I don't know what'll happen, but so I'll just, you know, I wanted you to know that I don't tend to buy a car every year, you know, every time I turn around. And actually, to tell you the truth, I probably wouldn't have bought that Triumph if you hadn't sold your Buick, and I would have been able to take that down to Fort Walters with me. However, I said I think I wouldn't have, but I probably would have. Maybe, maybe not. You never know. But that's. Now, I guess I started out this tape to tell you what I did today, so I guess I'll do that. I got up this morning at 10 o'clock and got on my cutoffs and my shower shoes, which are thongs. Went outside and, well, missed breakfast, so I got a Coke out of the refrigerator and drank a Coke, which is not much of a breakfast, but it fills your stomach up with something. And then I went outside and we started finishing touches on our bunker. Now, this time we've done a little different. We took a big bulldozer with a 12-foot blade, or I guess, no, a 10-foot blade, and cut ourselves a trench about 10 feet deep and about 40 feet long, which we've covered. In other words, there's no exposed parts of the bunker. It's level with the ground. It's right now, it's put up by 4x12s and PSP linked together with four layers of sandbags on top of that, which makes it four layers of sandbags above the ground in height. We've also built a defensive bunker, you know, just to hide from rockets and mortars and stuff. And then on the entrance way, you had to block up the ends because the bulldozer's got to dig its own way down, you know, so it can get back out of the hole again. So we had sort of a slope at each end, and we squared it off and dug it straight down, filled the end up with sandbags, on the northern end, all we have there is an entrance that makes an L, and we got a underground trench that goes from our tent straight to the bunker. So as soon as you get out of the tent, you're underground, and then you walk down the canal way to the trenches to the main bunker. On the south end, which is my tent is on the south end of the bunker, we have an offensive bunker at the end of that. We got a cubby hole to get in it with, and all this has got three slits so you can look outside and shoot if it ever came to that. We could put up a pretty good fight. Everybody's armed with at least an M16, 38. Most of us have AKs, you know, Chicom AK-47s or 50s. I got the Russian AK-50. And also got my bolt action, but I would never take out in a firefight. I wouldn't want it to get hurt, you know. I got to save it for a war trophy. And the bunker's got grenades and all kinds of good stuff in it. I guarantee you that we'd probably never ever use it, but in case we have to, it's there. We won't ever be sorry we didn't have it. And actually, like I said before, it's a combination of bunker and officers club. So we got the floor put in, wood floor, and we're going on. We haven't got the walls in yet. See, we just put the finishing touches on the outside, the strong part of it. And we're going to have a bar dug into the wall with a cabinet built around it, you know, a wood cabinet. Actually, it's not a bar, it's a liquor cabinet. And then the bar in front of that, it'll be divided, probably a quarter of the whole deal underground will be a card table room. You can play poker in there. It'll be a wall completely divided with a exit way to get out of the trench or get into the main part of the club. Between the, or actually the wall, it's not an outer wall, the inside wall, it's inside the bunker, paralleling or surrounding the card table room. You're going to have a cubby hole through it, which will go straight into the bar, so the guy tending bar can just serve drinks to the card room right through the cubby hole. And then the rest of it, a bar will take up another quarter of the space, and the other half of space will be just lounging. We have a couple tables in there we can read and write letters, and just sit around the bar and drink, play cards. And if you want to play cards, you go in the back room, make all the noise you want, won't bother anybody. All this, mind you, while rocket attacks going on. The idea we're building this in our bunker, if it's sort of our day room, you might say. We spend our time in there at night after we get through working, and the rockets go off, and heck, it don't bother us any. We're in our bunker already. You know what I mean? So we'll be up tight, real good. We're coming along real good on it. And more or less, that's what I did all day long. I ate my lunch, ate my dinner, and then after dinner, I just sort of took a shower and laid on my bed and listened to your tape that you sent me, which I received today. By the way, today is the 10th day of May. And I don't know, I haven't looked at my watch. It might be the 11th. It's pretty late now. It's almost midnight. So I'll finish this tape and go to bed. Then I'll go ahead and write Boyd and maybe Janet tomorrow and grandmother and Willits and whoever I think of writing if I feel like it. Which I probably won't, but should, I realize. This is about all I can say. Tonight, see, I'll be flying tomorrow. Tonight we had a flare ship and an emergency medevac ship just for use if the LZ gets mortared or something. They had to go out because one of our cavalry units north of Dong Ha, which is right on the DMZ, was in fairly heavy contact. All of a sudden, 200 North Vietnamese Army troops just walked up to the perimeter, and our 1st to the 5th Cavalry wiped them out, just kind of mowed them down, all 200 of them. And that was the stupidest thing I ever saw. And about two clicks to the west of that position, a group of Arvins saw 400 NVA trying to cross a river in boats, and they mowed them down. And that's just like shooting ducks at a gallery, man. I had never heard anything like that, and that all happened tonight. So while I'm sitting here making this tape, the guys go out and drop flares. The guys from our company had the flare ship, went out and dropped flares while our cavalry people mowed down about 200 gooks. It's pretty good. Sometimes they happen like that, and sometimes we have to work for our kills, like the Ashaw Valley, for instance. But things have been going pretty good. And I just can't understand why the NVA and the VC keep coming, because there's no future for them down here, that's for darn sure. Now, maybe I can ask your opinion, since Johnson's out of the race. Who do you think will be winning? And as far as I'm concerned, there definitely isn't any candidates. I believe that Nixon's a loser, not because that he's lost twice. I heard the story just today. Nixon's a three-time loser. He's just the same as a pregnant prostitute driving an Edsel with a Nixon for President bumper sticker. That's what everybody feels about Nixon. It's just the way he downgraded the press and fairly a lot of derogatory marks every time he's lost an election. And that's why he feels a loser. If any type of crisis came up and he lost, which would be highly probable, it'd be the same situation. I'm afraid that he wouldn't be able to handle anything that was actually worth handling. I feel that Rockefeller is too middle of the road. He doesn't have any ideas. It seems like he just kind of goes along with the crowd, you know, and so forth. I don't think he's a strong enough man to be president of the country. I don't know about Lindsay or Percy or Hatfield too much. I think Hatfield might make a good president, comparatively speaking to these other people we have here. Humphreys might be all right. I don't really know. I don't think he's got a very strong personality. Kennedy is still immature. He's not old enough or man enough yet to run the presidency. Any votes he will get is because he's good looking or because he doesn't cut his hair or anything else. So I'm really kind of upset that there's no men qualified running, as far as I'm concerned. The only man that I feel that could take the job and do a good job at is Johnson, and he's definitely not running. And I feel that when I get a chance to vote, I'm just going to have to write his name in or something. I don't know. It depends on how much literature I get to read. See, I'll be home. If you're registering me now or working on it or finding the information for me, I'll be home in August, which is before the campaign, and I'll be able to find out myself then on my leave, and then I'll have to vote by proxy or absentee ballot when I'm in Texas or Alabama or wherever I happen to be at the time. So I think I should be all right. It's really too bad that we don't have any qualified men to run, and I'm serious about that. I don't know, but I guess people will show you sometimes that they are qualified after they've been elected. It seems the way it's, I've heard in the papers and so forth, the way things are going as far as seems to me that in school, every time, you know, I have the class president saying, everybody says, don't vote for popularity, people, you know, vote for the man that can do the job. And it seems to me that the way polls are going, voting, and the way people around here talk about who they're going to vote for, it seems to me it's all nothing but popularity. And it's just a popularity contest. You know, boy, Janet says for one, man, boy, I don't know, Robert Kennedy's a good-looking guy, man. I think I'd vote for him, you know. That really makes me sick. It really does. But that's on the light side, I guess. I just want to say that, there isn't any much more to say, and I got a little bit of the tape left, and I don't even think I'm going to finish it because I'm getting tired, and I think I'll go to bed. I think I've shot the bull enough. So go ahead and drive your Buick once in a while. I think that you should at least start it up once a week. And I was wondering if you're still, that's never mind on that. The exhaust system, I also want to know if you've gotten that so far, whether it's still on back order or whatever. And I really hope I get it by the time I get home. But other than that, I guess that's all I've got to say. So I'll say goodbye to Mom, goodbye to Dad, goodbye to Kiki, goodbye to George A's, and goodbye, last and not least, Uncle Max. And I hope George A's and my questions about the slick and the lerps satisfied you.